Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, Captain Brett Bartlett, retired from the Tampa Police Department. He makes me say the rest of this. With 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience, so thank you so much for being on the show, Captain. He just sent me a text. We're not done yet. I got to say this too. He's the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. Did I get that right? Just looking here. Any more texts from Brett? Nope. Covered it. Great job. Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.
Yeah. You're the best.
Exemplary one more time. Exemplary law enforcement experience. Okay. And then we've got a special agent in charge, Secret Service, Rich Steripoli. So thanks so much for being back on the show. We appreciate it. Wait. I'm just noticing, does he say sovereign nation of Brooklyn? Is that
Brooklyn
what he says?
Brooklyn will never fall, sir. You can take Manhattan, but you're not going to get Brooklyn.
Like the man said, fight.
The filter. Exactly. We need an AI filter, just like YouTube uses, to help catch stuff like this. You know, here I am preoccupied with doing the intro to the show, and Rich sneaks in the little sovereign nation citizen stuff going on. Wow. All right. Thanks for being on the show, Jim. We appreciate it. A shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Goals at Goals.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming over 1 million followers right now during the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Go there. You can pick up cool gear like the shirt that I'm wearing, and also FishOrlandoBass.com. This gets Brett excited when we talk about Zach and the bass fishing charter based out of Orlando, Florida, because next time, as I see Rich nodding his head, you know the drill. The next time you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, give them the credit card or give them the cash. Let them go have a great time and go hook up with Zach and do the bass fishing charter based out of Orlando at fishorlandobass.com. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, and this is the part, Rich, we get to talk about the famous Florida alligator. And I'm not talking about, Alcatraz, down there, in South Florida. I'm talking about the Florida alligator in Orlando, where you catch and you relocate these beasts of a freaking reptile. It's just, crazy. So anyhow, if you're feeling very adventurous, hook up with Zach at fishorlandobass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at tampafb.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and our very own Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, cover up is what we're starting off with. FBI seems to have known who the January 6th pipe bomber was all the way back in 2021. You got to be kidding me. I can't wait to talk about that. And Rich, hopefully you'll be able to help out on that one. We've got more stuff too. We've got a Arizona woman says that slashing her boyfriend's throat on Thanksgiving was a favor to his wife. I don't know if we're going to have time to cover that one. We got Albuquerque officers. They fatally shoot a domestic violence suspect who pulls a gun out during a struggle. Definitely covering that one. And then we're going to jump to Michigan. Grand Rapids police release a body cam video showing a fatal shootout. And we got Florida and Tennessee senators. They're pushing a 5-year prison term for doxing federal agents, and they're not done. And look, all this has to do with Florida Senator Ashley Moody, our former attorney general here. And also, we got the Florida and Missouri senators. They're moving the double penalties for attacks on ICE agents as assaults spike. And we finally got a man fatally shot by Seattle police officers. That's only because they ran out of less lethal because he pointed a gun at an officer. So we'll have to cover that as well. I know, Rich. I know. Whenever I think about Seattle, it's less lethal comes first. So let's talk about this stuff on RVMnews.com, which stands for Red Voice Media. They're asking if there's a cover-up. And the title is saying that the FBI seems to have known who the January 6th pipe bomber was all the way back in 2021. And of course, as we know, they just solved the case, or so we thought. So our bad guy's name, I'm just going to refer to him as BC. I hate to give these guys any glory that they're seeking, but this guy, we'll call him BC, not the powder. 30 years old, Woodbridge, Virginia is where he's at. He was taken into custody last Thursday, charged with the use of explosive device and an attempted malicious destruction by means of an explosive materials. According to the feds, this BC guy admitted to planting a pipe bomb, or actually a couple of them, at the RNC, Republican National Committee, and also at the DNC, Democratic National Committee headquarters, back on January the 5th, 2021, which is, of course, the day before January 6th is where, you know, they say they had the Capitol riot, which is another discussion. And the court documents and public records indicated that the FBI had information identifying this guy as a suspect as early as April of 2021. And now people are scratching their heads saying, well, we just nabbed them this past week. How could that be? You know, well, the January 6th Select Committee, chaired by Republican Rep. Barry Loudmilk, he released its pipe bomb report and compared it with the findings with the affidavit that were produced by the FBI. The report stated that in April of 2021, the case team identified a user. The information was redacted, but they say that this guy was in the area of the DNC at the time, and at the time the suspect can be seen on video footage using their cell phone. Now, the FBI requested and received the historical cell tower data for the user, and as of April of 2021, the case team was attempting to further analyze the user's movements, and it is ultimately unclear what happened with respect to the lead. They also have more information about cell phone data and pings and all kinds of stuff, and the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino stated that investigators solved the case without any new evidence. So this is like old stuff, 5 years old. Cole's arrest came nearly 5 years after the bombs were discovered in the January 6, 2021. So there you have it. Rich, you know, you're probably the most experienced guy here with the feds, and you know the inner workings of all this stuff. I know that I know the FBI has gone to great lengths to redeem themselves and no longer want to be referred to Biden's FBI or even or DOJ, the Biden DOJ. What should we think about this new intelligence?
Well, listen, you know, a lot of people have asked me about this, and I'm trying to stay away from the words conspiracy and collusion, because right away when people hear that, they're thinking this is some, you know, this is an event that occurred in the depths and the bowels of FBI headquarters and, you know, dimly lit office. This is so much more overt than that. They simply didn't do anything with the information that they had. This is analogous to a cop, and I know there are many cops watching and listening, so you'll understand this analogy. This is like if you pull over a guy that blows past you on the parkway doing 90 miles an hour. You pull out, you pull up to him, you talk to him, and you realize, you know what? I'm not going to write this guy. You get back in your car and you go back to where you were sitting. The whole thing just goes away. Could you have written him? Of course you could have. But you know what? You made the decision not to do anything with this. That's exactly what happened here. The FBI agents in the field did their investigation, turned it over to their supervisors, and they just walked away from it. They put the thing on a shelf in a folder and decided not to do a damn thing with it. That's all it comes down to. So Danny Bongino is exactly right. They went out. They didn't need any new leads. Everything had been done. Just go get the guy. But as a federal agent, unlike, say, a uniformed cop, very rarely do you make PC arrests. So you need to do this in conjunction with the Department of Justice. Well, during the Biden crime family years, the Department of Justice wouldn't do anything other than prosecute things that had to do with Donald Trump. So if you don't have the Department of Justice telling you, yeah, we want this guy arrested and prosecuted, then nothing happens. And you had the perfect storm. The DOJ didn't want to do anything. The FBI didn't want to do anything. And nothing happened. And that's the end of that story of why this played out the way it did.
Wow. Well, Captain, any surprises?
No, but you know what's funny? Within the last month or so, a lot of right-wing blogs were saying, based on on the person's walking traits, mm-hmm. gait, that it was a prior employee of the Capitol Police, mm-hmm. and that went everywhere. I just wonder if that prompted this.
I see.
To get the information out there, go, no, it's not. I'm telling you, if I was that person, that they were naming this person, they were showing her face, I'd be saying, fellas, here's how many zeros I want in the check right now. But you don't hear these commentators coming off of it.
Yeah, I mean, they went out, they went so far as to identify this woman by name to give up the fact that they thought she was working over at the CIA in some capacity. I totally agree with you, Brett. Talk about that thing taking on a life all its own. And that should have been shut down the minute that thing hit the media. I'm with you on that.
And up till now, I haven't seen anybody going, oh, we were saying this person.
Yep.
Not the FBI, yep. But all these outlets. We were saying this person give us an address. We'll go ahead and send the check to you.
No kidding.
I'm telling you, Chip, they weren't saying an unknown. They were naming her by name. They were putting her picture up on the.
I'm glad that's not the way we roll over here. Wow. Oh.
And it would be different if it was just they made it arrest. But according to the news now, the kids, he's copped out.
Yep.
Okay. But again, there's always more to it. But it's not like you're going to have to prove the case. He said I did it.
You know, even Bongino would say, you know, slow it down, get it right the first time. Don't be so anxious to get the scoop and get the story out there, you know, before anybody else, because you're running the risk of getting it wrong. So 10 seconds, guys. We're going to commercial break. Our first one will be like that. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And look, when you're looking for gear, guys, your choices are almost limitless, right? And then when you throw the online option, it's just like you have so many choices. But look, here's the deal. We really want to encourage you guys to do what we think is the right thing, and that is supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've got a radio code I'm about to give you that will help you get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. That is radio15. So type in radio15, and in order to get 15% off your next order, it'll work with most purchases. And they have gift cards. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they'll be your new best friends. And that is all at Gauls.com. And now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And we all know about, you know, our favorite product called the glove. But in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety, and it's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. And they provide protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're EcoProtect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind from high-risk environments. And their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact, and they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. You're going to learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to compliantechnologies.com/MITEK, and that is because the best defense starts with the right protection. Again, compliantechnologies.com/MyTech. Check it out. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we've got Rich Steripoli, a former special agent in charge for the Secret Service, and Captain Brett Bartlett, former captain of the Tampa Police Department in Florida. So thanks, guys, for being on the show. Appreciate it. Wow, we've been talking about some juicy stuff. But if you guys are ready to wrap it up and go to our first story with a video component, we can do that. So we've got a pretty sensational one lined up. So our next one, then, we're going to jump over to Albuquerque here, you know, for this one. So pay attention. You guys aren't going to want to miss this. So on this particular one, Albuquerque officers, they fatally shoot a domestic violence suspect who pulled out a gun during a struggle.
All right. So at this time, hear me place under arrest for manslaughter.
Don't do it, guys.
Raymond,
please don't, guys. Please don't make
don't
me
reach for anything.
Please don't make me. Hey guys, let me go and I'll stop.
Raymond?
Let me go and I'll stop.
Raymond.
I don't want to do this.
Do what, Raymond?
I don't want to do this, man. Why are you guys doing
Raymond?
This? Why are you guys doing this? Hey, Victoria! Help me! Babe! No, hey, let me go. I didn't do nothing, man.
Raymond.
I didn't do nothing.
Hey,
I didn't do anything. Stop! Help! Help! Stop! Stop!
Amen!
Stop! Stop!
He has a gun.
Hey!
He has a gun?
I don't.
Let go, Raymond!
Raymond, let
Raymond.
Go of the gun!
Let go!
It's not a gun.
Raymond!
It's not a gun.
Raymond, let go!
Gun. It's not a gun!
Raymond!
Hey! Ah!
Raymond, let go!
Please shoot me, Raymond. Please don't make me, guys. Hey, officer.
Raymond,
please don't.
The gun.
If you make me,
all
I'll
right.
do it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Okay. All right, then. If that's what you're doing, I'm doing it.
Then. Move the gun.
No. Okay. That's it. All right, you're going to do it. My finger's on the trigger.
All right, let go of the gun.
Let go of my arm. Let go of my arm. And I will not shoot. Let go of my arm.
Let go.
Let go of my arm. 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 And I won't shoot. Okay. Now I can. All right.
Oh. Hey, watch out. Watch out.
Hey, you want to go?
Watch out.
You want to go?
Huh?
Shoot him.
He's going to go.
Drop it.
Man, I had to watch this a couple times, guys, to figure out what in the world was going on. I tried to watch without reading the story just to see how much. I mean, that's the most fun way to do it, you know, based on your experience, you know. But, you know, we don't always get it right, right? So this is the taken from our favorite law enforcement video channel. It's at rumble.com, but the name of the channel is called This Is Better. And I'm going to go and start off here. Albuquerque officers, they respond to a 911 call. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, February the 23rd. A woman says that her husband is Benjamin Raymond. He has been physically abusing her that day and before. So the woman tells police that she's afraid of her husband and she had locked herself in the bedroom before she called police. So when the cops get there and they get there, wow, the call comes in at 1 o'clock and they get there at 1:36. So I guess there wasn't too much urgency to get there over half an hour. They speak with the man and the woman separately. They decide that there's probable cause, which is our key word phrase, in order to arrest this guy. I always take a moment to watch how cops let bad guys know that they're going to put him in the custody. Do they tell him outright? We had a story yesterday where they told the guy, he kept asking, what's up, what's up, what's up? And only when they told the guy he had a capious officer's arrest, the guy started reaching his pants like he's going to pull out a gun and started running and crap, you know? And so sure enough, they tell the guy, you know, that's it. You know, you're under arrest. And so what's it? He just turns around and he starts running. So now he's got to be tackled and they're holding him face down. So he's in a prone position, but they're still fighting with the guy. And at one point, after about a minute and a half, I know Brett's shaking his head. They go to handcuff the guy. So this is where handcuffing tactics and, you know, you guy, it's just, there's a lot of training challenges here, but they were unable to get the guy handcuffed. But, you know, don't pull your handcuffs out until you're ready to handcuff, and unless you can use, because now your hands are just tied up, or you're going to give the guy a weapon to use against you. So he's in a prone position. We have two male officers on this bad guy, and he's able to roll over on his back and point a gun that he has at an officer that's holding a taser. And what I can say is that it's kind of hard to tell, but you hear the guy all during the struggle, man, I don't want to do this. And I'm wondering, you don't want to do what? And that should have been a flag to these officers. The guy had a gun on him, and he was in a situation where I guess he didn't want to go to jail, but he ultimately said, I'm going to do it. And so the officer that ends up being one-on-one with this guy, and the officer says, hey, you know, he's got a gun. There's one officer and he unholsters his gun. He drops, gets rid of the taser, fires three times. Another officer behind him looks like he shoots the guy in the back. The guy's still moving. And then they have another string of fire. The guy stops moving. They take him to the hospital and he ends up being pronounced dead. So that's the way it ends. But I'm curious what our panelists think about, you know, this and how it went down. But it's a pretty viral video. Captain Brett.
I'm glad that we weren't on air, so you didn't have to hear me screaming, shoot this guy, shoot this guy, shoot this guy. Buddy, as soon as that gun's in, you're in a deadly force encounter, man. There's no polite. I would have taken the back. One of those guys should have taken the back of that guy's head, if nothing else, and smashed his nose into the pavement to knock him out, at least distract him. But I'm telling you, Chip, this went on for a minute and a half. And I thought first I heard yelling, don't make me do this. And I thought, well, that's cop talk. But no, it was the bad guy doing it.
There was even talk about him having his finger on the trigger.
Oh, my gosh. And buddy, they should have shot him. Now, here's my theory. Here's why I don't think they shot him. I think they didn't shoot him because they thought they could gain control. And here's also a theory. The closer you are to somebody, I believe the harder it is to put a gun to their back of their head and pull the trigger.
What do you mean when you say that?
That it is such an up close and personal event now that
I mean, mentally.
Yeah, distance. Okay, I'm good. 5-10 feet, man. I'll shoot it. But putting my muzzle to his eyeball and pulling the trigger, I don't know about all that. That's just my theory. I can't prove that. But anyway, Richard, go ahead, please.
I think you're right about that, right? I've often thought about that. It's easier to shoot somebody from distance than it is to basically execute someone, you know, up close, right? And that's the proverbial, you know, soldier situation when he's told to go to bayonets, you know, that type of thing, right? That hand-to-hand combat. But I also think there's a problem here with the way, you know, police are being trained and turned out in the streets in this country, right? What they should go back to is old school policing where, hey, I don't care who it is you're talking to. It could be a 9-year-old kid. The first thing you're looking for is a gun, right? Because you just don't know. And when you see that gun, at that point, it's game over. Bad guy pulls out a gun. Your response is you pull out a gun and shoot this guy. There's no more screwing around. You know, this whole thing, especially with domestic violence incidents, with this whole talk about we don't need the police. We need domestic violence intervention specialists, you know, which is why I half joking about the sovereign nation of Brooklyn. But that's what they plan on putting out in the streets in New York to handle domestic violence situations. They don't want the police responding. We're going to have some social workers respond. Once that happens, you know what I call those social workers? Victims, right? Because this is not going to end well. And the cops are lucky this ended in the way it did. But they should have went to real guns much more quickly.
Yeah, they should have been. It's not that you have an otherwise honest guy whose gun dropped out of his pants, right? Here in Florida, everybody's got a gun in their pants.
Yep.
He's saying the words. Right? Add it up, gang. But you know what, Chip? I read this in one of the colonel's books. You don't see bomber pilots getting post-traumatic stress disorder because killing people from a distance is not a big deal. But one of our major human phobias is up close and personal violence. It's one of the things that we innately fear is that violence right in your face. It's something we just can't get over.
That's interesting, Brett. So and good thought. I know that, Rich, did you have anything else you want to throw in on this one? Or
no, I think this was pretty clear.
Yeah, the video, you know, people interested in watching the video, and look, I'm looking now and we got 15 seconds before we're taking our break, but I'll tell you when we come back from commercial break how to watch the videos, but stick with us, guys. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Brett's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with the Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at arrowprecisionusa.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to arrowprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett, co-host and panelist, and we got former SAC, Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Rich Steripoli. So thanks for being on the show. Also representing the sovereign nation of Brooklyn. So you got to love that. Of course, Brett's for the sovereign state of Florida. See, it's like a cancer. It's spreading now, Rich. Now look, Brett's already added that to his name. It's just, you know, where's this going to end? I don't know.
And you don't need a visa to come down here to visit, Rich.
Not yet.
I hereby clear you to come visit.
I heard that you can do that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So before the commercial break, we were talking about this last story. The cops are fighting a bad guy who produces a weapon. And we were talking about getting up close and personal, and Brett had theorized that, you know, well, it is easier to pull the trigger from a distance, but there are opportunities and tactically sound opportunities to take a bad guy out with a contact shot or headshot up close and personal. So we were talking about that. And then we were talking about if people really want to watch a video, you know, during a live show, there's just so many things that can go wrong with everything you're doing. And then a lot of the people were primarily a nationally syndicated radio show that's on satellite radio as well. So those people listening to the audio portion of the show are simply not going to be able to benefit from a video component. And most podcasts are audio too. There are some podcast outlets that have a video component. Now YouTube's considered a podcast component, and Spotify has a video component attached to their podcast. So let me just say this, that if you want to watch any video that we talk about, producer will take a copy of the live show from the day before and he'll put it up at 9 o'clock the very next morning. So today's live show from 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time during the lunch hour will reappear on our Rumble channel at 9 o'clock the very next morning. That happens Tuesday through Saturday. And in that version that goes up at 9 o'clock in the morning, producer will embed every video that we talk about. It'll appear as we're talking about it. So you get to hear us critiquing the video either while it's playing or immediately after it plays. And he'll even put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we're talking about them. So it's really a great way to watch the show. So that's my recommendation. If there's a video that you want to watch, just 9 o'clock in the next morning, Eastern time, go to our Rumble channel and check it out. So that said, that brings us to the next story with the video component. We're going to jump over to Michigan at rumble.com. This is Butter again, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Grand Rapids police released a body cam video showing a fatal shootout. So here's what happens. We've got newly released body cam footage, and it's body cam and dash cam. It shows the moments that a 51-year-old bad guy opened fire on Grand Rapids police officers during what they described as a high-risk traffic stop. It was pretty surprising how this went down, and it prompted officers to return fire, and they actually killed the bad guy in the street. The shooting happened on Saturday in the city's west side, according to the Grand Rapids Police Department. It started with a domestic violence call earlier in the day. A woman initially contacted police around noon and later called 911 again just before 4 p.m. to report that the guy was threatening to shoot himself. So about 45 minutes later, after the second call, officers actually locate this guy's car and they do a stop. We got two cop cars and they stop in the middle of the roadway, and he does stop. There's really no big chase or anything. The video shows the officers ordering the guy to turn the engine off, and he responds by opening up his driver's door, and he immediately starts firing a semi-automatic pistol toward the officer. So now we have the Grand Rapids Police Chief Eric Winstrom chiming in, saying that the suspect fired an estimated 8 to 12 rounds in the direction of police. And now we have three officers returning fire. They discharged at least 30 rounds combined, and the chief said no fewer than three bullets struck the suspect, killing him. So he was hit at least three times, pronounced dead at the hospital. So the video also shows excessive damage to one police cruiser, and it was hit by both bad guy and friendly fire. Poor cruiser. The driver of the police cruiser is right-handed. They say he had to shoot through the windshield while simultaneously trying to shield himself from incoming bullets from the bad guy. And then the officer had to reload, so he moved behind the vehicle, behind the cruiser to do that. And the chief goes on to say that this happening in such a short period of time is out of the norm, adding that he believes the officers took every reasonable step to de-escalate the situation. And I'm glad he said that, because I'll let you guys talk about it, but de-escalation is not necessarily what you think it is. Police have not publicly identified the man. I even looked and I wasn't able to get his name. Chief Winstrom said that this bad guy, even though he's unidentified, had been the subject of several previous DV calls in the past, domestic violence calls. So there you have it. So whoever wants to start us off first on this one, guys, Brett, why don't you go in and take this one?
Officers, stop talking. Just stop talking. Give a command. Shut up. This bad guy's not going to go. If you'd have yelled one more time to cut the car off, I would have cut the car off. But no, you only stop talking. And I don't know, you know, I haven't been shot at in a while. I don't know what benefit there is at that distance from trying to hit a guy as I'm shooting through my own windshield. I don't see it. I think you're better off if, you know, get down under the windshield, get down behind cover. The other officer is shooting at the bad guy as well. The one officer who shot from the windshield inside his car started outside the car, but then moved in and continued. I just don't see the benefit of that. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because the bad guy's shooting at him. But here's the thing. Stop talking. Give a command. Okay, turn off the car. And then what? You're not giving that command for him anyway. You're giving that for the witnesses who are going to watch your video later on. Because the bad guy's right. Rich, you're not going to listen to that. That bad guy's, if it's a bad guy with a gun, he's not, doesn't matter what you yell. So stop talking.
All right. I love it. Well, thanks for clearing that up. Now, if we only had a special agent in charge that could weigh in on the situation.
I got to tell you, right from the get-go, when they classify this as not a high-risk car stop, listen, guys, especially the newer guys that are sitting there in uniform, every car stop that you do is a high-risk car stop until you've got control of the situation and you know exactly what's going on. Do not approach anybody, especially in a vehicle, with the intention of, well, I'm here to de-escalate. No. You are there to take control of the situation and figure out what's going on, and then you can deal with whatever the rest of the situation is. But the mindset's got to be there. As far as firing from inside, you know, my patrol car through the windshield, you know, listen, I'm not quite sure what that guy was thinking about. I think if I'm going to go back into my car, my intention is probably either to run my car into the guy shooting at me or put it in reverse and get out of there. I don't think, and I've been in some shooting situations, I've never fired through my own windshield, so I'm not sure what the mindset there was or what that's all about. But look, you know, ultimately, I'm dismayed by what happened here because I never like to see anything happen to a perfectly good police car. But look, at the end of the day, you know, this is sanitation's problem now. Let them come out and clean this mess up. So as long as the cops are okay, it's not their fault that this guy wanted to escalate and engage in a gunfight.
And yeah, the only way to de-escalate this is put a round right between his running lights.
Yeah.
You know, the second vehicle, you know, off to the left got a little, you know, knowing now, you know, the information, when I first watched the video, I didn't have all the information, but made me a little uncomfortable how close, you know, he got, but at least both cops weren't one cop behind the other cop, you know, at least they were separate. So the bad guy had there were three cops total, but he had, you know, at least two different positions he had to fire at. He had to be, you know, he just couldn't fire the bullets in one direction and say, I'm going to hit all three cops, you know, or go for it. You know, they gave him, you know, the odds, the cops really put the odds in their favor by doing that. So I'm glad they neutralized.
You know, Chip, we've talked about this a lot. If you get somebody who's a non-complier, just shut up. Okay. If you yell, turn the car off and it doesn't happen, stop talking, turn to the other officer and go, Bill, listen, this guy, he's a non-complier. Let's pause for a minute. Hang on. Keep your gun. I'll see what this guy's going to do. Let's stop talking. Let's let him make the next thing. Because if I'm yelling and screaming, I'm using up oxygen and I'm using up brain space and I'm not paying attention. So let's shut up for a minute. Let's watch this guy. Radio, we need another unit. We need fire rescue. I think we have a non-complier. And then stop.
No, one for the good guy. So final words on this one, Rich.
Well, listen, the only thing that I think would have made this better is if they would have tossed two flashbangs into the guy's car.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd be one way to clear it.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, since we got a couple of federal articles right here, but they're involving Ashley Moody. So I'm going to go into Whet the Appetite. We've got just over a minute before we go to our next commercial break. So I'm going to go and cover both of these together, if that's okay, guys, and we can discuss those. And let me just say, there's always flags for me whenever we've got legislation. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but Rich Mike, I can see he's a representative, you know, so we're talking about, you know, House reps and Senate. You know, a lot of people, look, I know that they just want things attached to their names, and so they just want to sponsor a bill. They want to, you know, they just want to look like they're being productive. And some people genuinely are doing the right thing, but I had mixed emotions about penalty enhancements because bad guys, they just don't care. You know, if you want to put a new restriction for, you know, taking a gun in a school or within 500 feet of this or that, or, you know, if we're doing something against a cop or breaking into a residence with a firearm, you know, all these things, I don't know that they necessarily, you know, work. But we're 10 seconds out. Let's do another commercial break and we'll cover this very interesting story coming up next. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a certified, competent, certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dan O'Kelly's got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by former special agent in charge from the Secret Service, Rich Steripoli, and also Tampa Police Department Captain Brett Bartlett. Now, we're going to talk about a couple stories from the Tampa Free Press at tampafp.com. We've got Florida, and like I said, two stories, but they both, the common denominator is Senator Ashley Moody. So Florida and Tennessee senators, they push for a five-year prison term for doxing federal agents. And this is all about the feds. Legislation's introduced by Senator Ashley Moody from Florida and Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee. It seeks to criminalize the public release of federal law enforcement officers' names if done to hinder investigations. And the Protecting Law Enforcement from Doxing Act, it would amend federal criminal code to make doxing publicly revealing an officer's identity with the intent to obstruct criminal or immigration enforcement, which is a felony. Now, under the proposed bill, violators could face fines or up to 5 years in federal prison. Senator Moody, who's our former, you know, AG, a former, well, it says a former attorney general in Florida, and spouse of a law enforcement officer, which I don't think that I knew that she was married to a Florida Leo, but framed the bill as a necessary shield for agents facing heightened risks. And the proposals specifically cites dangers posed by transnational criminal organizations like MS-13 and Tron de la Agua, suggesting the publicizing agents' identities, it leaves them vulnerable to retaliation, not to mention the families as well. And also the bill sponsors, they characterize the measure as a response to local officials who they claim have released officer details to disrupt federal operations, which is sad. And Senator Blackburn described the legislation as a mechanism to ensure that local leaders do not impede federal immigration enforcement. It is a sad day when you're having to propose legislation that would be a mechanism to ensure that local leaders, government officials, are not going to impede federal immigration enforcement. That is just, you know, sad. And then we've got our companion article on all this. Florida and Missouri senators moved to double penalties for attacks on ICE agents as assault spike. So on this one, we've got, it gives the staggering percentage. The surge in assaults, it is up 1,153%, over 1,100%, and assaults that have increased on immigration enforcement officers compared to last year alone. Republican senators, Senator Ashley Moody and also Eric Schmidt, they launched a legislative push this week to push significantly ramp up federal penalties for those who target agents in the line of duty. So Senator Moody announced on Tuesday that she is co-sponsoring the Protect and Respect ICE Act. It's called PRICE, the PRICE Act, a measure designed to double the federal prison time for individuals convicted of attacking federal agents. And it comes as lawmakers are grappling with the rising tensions and violence directed at ICE personnel. And it goes on to say that, well, here's a quote. Our men and women in uniform put their lives on the line every day to defend the communities across the country and to keep us safe. And this is what Ashley Moody said. She goes on to say that this is why I'm working with Senator Schmidt to double the penalty for these violent attacks. Let's pass the PRICE Act today and ensure that we have our officers' backs while they protect ours. And Senator Schmidt, who's spearheading the legislation alongside Moody, framed the bill as necessary countermeasure to anti-ICE sentiment. So there you go. We got two that are protecting the feds. I actually feel good about this. I don't know how much it's going to deter anything, but Brett Bartlett.
One of the things I like it in this article, they're talking about a halo rule, 25 foot. If you get within 25 feet of a federal immigration agent with the intent to, and good, because if somebody's within arm's reach of me and I tell them to move back and they don't, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth. I'm not going to talk. And you see all the time these protests, the bad guys right on the policeman's face. Rich, we wouldn't allow that on the street. Chip, you wouldn't allow that on the street.
No way.
We would never allow somebody to be here. So good. Now, 25 feet, how are we going to measure that? You know, that's the big unknown. But if you're within arm's distance of me, I can certainly testify that my arm is less than 25 feet. Sir, ma'am, step back. You cannot be. If they don't step back, buddy, I'm going to step forward. I'm going to take this big old ice fist and I'm going to explode their nose. Because this hands-on crap doesn't work. The only thing these big old fat white Karen women know is break their nose, punch their nose. Because when you get punched in the face, doesn't that ruin every plan you have? I'm tired of that.
Yeah, you can have the best plan as possible, and it just goes out the window the first time you get punched in the face. Yeah, Rich?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Brett said. You know, as a matter of fact, I think President Trump put it best, and people kind of laughed it off as a joke when he said, if you spit, we hit. But you think about that. If you're close enough where somebody can spit on me, you've let this guy get too close. You need a good punch in the face. And especially with some of these liberal, crazed, lunatic women, a good punch in the nose, let the blood flow, you know, right all over them. That'll shut them down pretty quickly. But, you know, I like all these laws that are being written, but they're only good if people are willing to allow you to prosecute on them, right?
Yeah.
You look at the U.S. Code book, Title 18, it's got 2,000 pages in it. Covers every crime from homicide to, you know, reselling mattresses that you've pulled the tags out of. But if the prosecutor's not going to let me arrest somebody and send them to prison for any of those violations, it doesn't do me any good. So until we start locking up some of these elected officials that are pushing this doxing nonsense, and I was going to use a different word for that, but I didn't, you know, it's all paper tiger. People need to start being held accountable for these actions. And, you know, I'm never one, and I don't think Brett is either, and I know you're not, Chip, to hold back. If you're close enough to do something to me, I'm going to lock you up. Unfortunately, I got to rely on prosecutors to prosecute.
You know, I love Ashley Moody. She was a great AG for us here in Florida. I know her heart's in the right place. And I did not know that she's married to a cop. I've got to, you know, research that further. I'm impressed. A lot of people, you know, we barely have time to go to that. The next story that we have had a video component. So I, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to stay on this just a little bit longer because we have people in the audience, and I see we got Mary Lou Bartlett, you know, on here as well. Another big fan for the show. So good seeing you, Mary Lou.
Proof where I said I was going to be.
Yeah, he's there. He's being a good boy, Mary Lou. You know, a lot of people don't understand what is the big deal with people there, you know, watching, you know, what law enforcement's doing, or maybe they're checking it, or there's some kind of a regulatory role. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about interfering in an investigation, and people have to realize that when you start having to watch multiple people because you don't know what their intentions are, your safety all of a sudden gets compromised. So what I mean is that if I'm on a traffic stop, and like Rich said earlier, you know, every traffic stop is a high risk stop. You never know what you're gonna get. But now I got some dude parking across the road, or maybe he's parked behind my car, and he just wants to watch what's going on, or maybe he just wants the film. Well, I don't know what this guy's intentions are. I don't know if they're running drugs, they're mules, or, you know, and that this guy's gonna take me out when I turn my back to him, and I'm dealing with his buddy that he's running drugs for. If he's the lookout car, or whatever. I mean, I don't know what's going on. So now I have to start watching both potential bad guys, and I have to split my time up, which means that now it's a safety risk, because now when I'm looking away from the real bad guy, he pulls out a weapon or does something that, you know, that can injure or kill me. So people don't understand that. And then when you get up close and personal with somebody and you can reach out and you can spit on me or you can touch me, now I'm having to split my time up as well. That's a safety. That is non-negotiable. We don't operate like that. And you're going to pay that ultimate price. And I'm not talking about a deadly price, but I'm talking, you're going to get tagged. You're going to get hit. And that is what needs to happen. And if you don't comply, you're going to go to jail, you know, yeah. But again, I'm going to put you in there. I'm not so worried about them prosecuting. I want them to prosecute, but you're going to get handcuffs, and I'm going to use the amount of force necessary in order to make that happen. And it's going to happen. So people, hopefully with that.
And there needs to be some examples. Remember in the academy, they tried to teach us arm bars and all. What did we end up doing for 30 years? Punching people right in the face. That's why I got this arthritis knot in my fist right in my hand right now. You punch because that always works.
But
that
we never taught punching with the with your gun hand, well, right?
Whatever. In the face. Yeah, whatever. Just punch him in the right in the mouth, knock him back. You know, all this other stuff, grabbing and you grab that I grab and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Punch him in the face. If he's face down and he's fighting, you take the back of his head and explode his nose against the pavement, because that always seems to work. It worked once. I'll tell you that story one day.
And Brett finished out his career as a captain in internal affairs. You got to love it. So,
hey, yeah, I caught myself in a lie coming around the other side of the table. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later.
We're out of time. Final words, Rich. I know you opened up your mic. Go ahead. I'm sorry that Captain Bartlett took up all the airtime, but go ahead. A few seconds.
No, I was going to say, it's always a pleasure being on with you two guys. And I didn't realize that Brett was also, after he left the police department, became a Zen Buddha master. So, you know, fantastic. Excellent.
Hey, I want to thank you guys so much again. Special agent in charge from Secret Service, formerly Rich Deripoli, and former Tampa Police Captain Brett Bartlett. And he loves to give out internal affairs advice on the show as well. So he is your man. And thanks for being on the show, guys. A shout out to the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. If you guys are looking for an organization to support, I do monthly, and they're a great organization. A shout out to our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, also ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.life, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells and Fish, OrlandoBass.com. We see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.